I'd like you to think about the place you live, the town you live in, the county park near you, and all of the turf that you pass as you drive on the roads. And because this is going to be something different, it's a qualitative study that's looking at the governance structure of our society and asking the question for public lands, what's the role of government and governance in making decisions about fine fescues and turf grass? And I am part of a great team, and you see you will have heard from many of them and see many of them on this, but particularly Michael Barnes and Amanda Meyer are the graduate students working on this. And my segment is one, and part of that is thinking about a public land manager and how they are trying to achieve the future. And so sustainable cities and grass vegetation related to sustainable cities is part of the future. And public land managers are dealing with vegetation across the landscape, right? It's not turf, it's trees, it's turf, it's gardens, and they have to put all that together. In addition, government has the chance to support individual consumers, support their residents. They have a role to incentivize, perhaps, or maybe to penalize. And that really can matter when it comes to turf or our goals for the future. And so that's what we were asked. Those are the questions we're going to ask. So I'm going to talk in a story manner. So the first thing is who are the public land managers? What do they prioritize in terms of fine fescue? What are managers' concerns about fine fescue? Because if there's a concern, it will be a barrier. Where do they agree and disagree? Is there heterogeneity? Are all public and land managers alike? And then, what thinking to the future, what type of support could they imagine their municipality, their county, providing folks around them, individual residents who are growing turf? Okay. So we did a survey as an initial component. We're in the middle of in-depth interviews now. But we did it in a variety of ways. First, we tried the online piece with public land managers, not as easy as with consumers. We then went to the place public land managers are participating in their professional societies or through the field days. And so every one of these surveys is 128. Those are individual municipalities, a county, or a school board. All right. So they're not talking about a quarter acre of turf. They're talking about large parks, large areas that they're managing turf. So who are they? Public land. 52 on average. Minnesota was significantly older than New Jersey. For some reason, we hang on in terms of our public land managers. Bachelor's degrees, so pretty highly educated. In Minnesota, a little than New Jersey, because we have that sample between Minnesota and New Jersey. Dominantly male and Caucasian. All right. The first question we asked on the survey was how supportive they'd be of turf grass that was low input, fine fescue. And in general, and I'm going to use really descriptive statistics because most of these folks are not dealing in an experimental design. They're talking with us about what's going on, but they're also taking the survey. And so, in general, they're supportive of this idea. All right, now that's not at the moment of buying, but they're thinking about it, and the first piece is, yes, I'll listen, right? So that's an unusual place to be when you're trying to convince somebody to do something that's different than what they've normally done. So what do they prioritize? So working with our breeders, where are the priorities for these public land managers? In general, this is a big picture. So we gave them scales, and if you'll notice that combined of New Jersey and Minnesota is on the top light blue, and then you have New Jersey, and then you have Minnesota. But in general, look at the whole shift. That's all it is. Everything's important, right? Nothing was considered unimportant. So we look at that top end in terms of some of these attributes, aesthetic attributes, tolerance attributes. And I'm going to break this down a little bit. I just wanted you to see. Okay, everybody's out there saying, yes, we want it all. So how do they perceive fine fescue? Because one of the things about behavioral work that we've been talking about in the past couple of studies is that the perception or the attitude they have is really important to a decision analysis, their cognitive component. And so we looked at aesthetics, management, and tolerance similarly, but remember, they're thinking about a different place. They're not thinking about backyard, front yard. They're thinking about it in relation to, and we had to say in relation to something, we'd have pictures, so we said in relation to a Kentucky bluegrass mix, which is your kind of standard quality grass, right? And so what traits would they want? And so generally, we'll just give you means on this because we showed you the graphs up at the top before, but in terms of importance, density and uniformity as compared to other things. Now, what's density? Okay, so that's my first interdisciplinary experience with my breeding group. You know, their version of density versus mine and talking with the public land managers. So density, when we discussed it with the public land manager, was you don't see the soil, right? Okay, that's what when we have continued to interview, what are you talking about when you say density? We don't want to see the soil, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's standing straight up in terms of lying down, but you don't see the soil. And then uniformity, so that it doesn't look unusual and different in any way. So aesthetically, their concern about fine fescues was density and uniformity. All right? So it's important, and we're concerned about it in terms of fine fescue. So overall, the perceptions, when you put them all together for aesthetics, were relatively neutral on a scale of, you know, of 1 to 7. Relatively neutral, but that means they're undecided about it, right? They may be open to it, but in terms of fine fescue in particular, and we showed them a picture, we defined it for them before they took the survey, but density and uniformity were really more important, and they should be a priority of trait management, which I know you're working on in trait breeding. And Jersey colleagues, no difference between Minnesota and New Jersey on this one, pretty uniform. Color and texture, similarly to consumers, was less important. We always think that's an important quality, and maybe it comes in later in the buying decision, but not as important when in the abstract thinking about what they're going to do. Management. Always comes down to management when it comes to a public land manager, especially when they're answering to a council, a city council, or a board, a county board, and they have to give the price in dollars that their turf management is going to happen. So one guy I interviewed said, you know what? The only thing I do from the minute the snow melts to the minute the snow drops again is mow grass. I've got forests. I've got gardens. I've got to stop mowing grass. All right? And so that was that tension of that balance of management decisions and what's going on. So this is, in general, the means in terms of where they were on the speed of establishment is important, water requirements, the need to reseed, all of those. But you notice they're management decisions, but they're also input decisions. All right, thinking about that. The guys answering were doing parkland, and they were doing sports fields. Okay, so nobody was at golf courses. We left that. That's a special group, right? Yeah, great. Okay. Right. Lesser, this non-native that's becoming big in Minnesota, not in terms of the public land managers. The perceptions of low input turf grass versus traditional turf grass, and that was throughout the survey defined as Kentucky bluegrass mixes. It was a low input grass will reduce lawn maintenance time. Yeah, thought. You know, could reduce time, less mowing, less watering. Then after that, a little less sure. All right, thinking about those aspects. You may also agree with them, right? You may not. So overall, there was a positive perception and preference across management traits. So, but there's a little follow-up in terms of massaging that, as I've been talking with folks about what attributes, so you all distinguish in fine fescues between chewing spiebald or a different type of fine fescue and its attributes. And that is not happening within the public land managers at this point. I had one person who could say five different fine fescue species to me that was a public land manager. Unfortunately, he had been trained at a turf program in some Big Ten university, I don't know where. So, And he remembered. And he did his own experiments by throwing seed, and could I get him some seed? Right there. But most, the other end of the spectrum is public land manager from Fridley. He does stormwater, trees, gardens, flowers, grass. Right? He was not managing fine fescue or thinking about fine fescue. And so you've got this range of public land managers that are out there thinking about low input as a possibility, in general having a positive perception, but there needs to be some follow-up in terms of education around what traits to use and what type of fescue to use. So speed of establishment, water requirements, need to reseed, mowing frequency, significantly more important. If you're going to target something, that's where you have to target around management. And I understand Brian Horgan and you all want to work with that a little bit more in terms of the next couple of projects. New Jersey, you guys can help interpret this for me, but pesticide requirements were significantly more important than in Minnesota. Would you agree?
Yeah, we have rules, laws, and practices.
Yeah, right. I would say in some other states also. Yeah, right. Less so about price. And one of the problems that I was confronted with by my colleagues, so this is the iterative part of things, I didn't ask price when I first began. And they said, well, wait a second, when it comes down to price. So then I started asking price. And the majority of the folks said, in terms of price, that was not as important. If they could show through total maximum daily loads, TMDLs, for water, that they would get a benefit, the price would follow. They would pay more to be able to do things related to water quality or do things related to lower maintenance or fuel costs. So it's a trade-off cost. If we can deliver it in terms of reduced fuel, that would be okay. And then finally, tolerance. The great studies that are being done by everybody in this room. Winter survivability. Now, it's a dominant pool of Minnesotans, right? So you would expect that. But drought cut tolerance right out there. Everybody thinks of Minnesota as the land of 10,000 lakes, right? Did you know that, right? But actually, we have quite a period of drought that is increasingly challenging some years. So we're going to have more infrequent big storms and drought periods. And so there's a challenge there for homeowners and figuring out how to manage that way. Because our water is cheap too, but in general, we don't have the systems that the South does for permanent watering. Thinking a little bit about perceptions. Here are the perceptions. Now this is what public land managers, they generally feel that heat and cold, they don't agree that fine fescues can tolerate that, or disease or traffic. Are they right? Are they wrong? I'm asking my breeders. In general, disease is a problem, right? In general, traffic, you guys are working on it. Heat and cold, that's hard. That's hard for us to interpret.
What occurs is they're buying cheap fine fescues when they're buying their fine fescues.
Okay, so that's the next study, to look at the industry and what might be going on. But remember, this is a perception. It's not a fact, right? So that's a marketing issue. So, winter survivability, drought tolerance, significantly important. Disease tolerance rated significantly more by New Jersey than Minnesota. High preference for foot traffic, we know that. Especially, they say, in front of the goals. If you could work on those goals, they would love it. They're neutral in that they agree on low input turf grasses in terms of disease. So they're on the fence on that one. So, next steps, try to work a little bit more with the misperceptions. Work a little bit more with the things that are trait issues that they would appreciate. And then finally, these folks are not the folks that would design the programs for residents. But when they were thinking about it, and especially where they're actually working with the other city managers, they say the primary barriers for residents in thinking about fine fescues is lack of information. They think most people, a grass is a grass, and I would say that would be me as a resident, and difficulty of establishing. Personal support for municipal programs, these folks would be very supportive of cities or municipalities designing a program saying buying seed in stock and then in kind for residents who want to convert in some areas, maybe in relation to their income level. And in general, they're supportive of any program that would help with education. No one has anything to do with turf replacement or movement. They have tree programs, but they don't have turf programs at this point. Only one city I found that was considering buying seed to try to reduce, mostly in general to create low input. So, questions. The beginning of a story to think about governance and what's the role of city government in relation to the consumer and in relation to the market.